Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Stephanie L. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Friday, June 6, 2025, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are on page 102, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "Why sit with a long face in places?" through one full paragraph ending with, "Just because your friends drink liquor." We are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. Today's readers are Penny L.C. reading the text, Jody E. reading page 164, and Vanessa G. is our backup reader today. Newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Shelley E. The reference ID number for yesterday, Thursday, June 5th, 2025, is 22,500 or 22500, and today's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 22,502 or 22502. LA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Terry G. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you so much for your service. My name is Terry G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Pensacola, Florida. And the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous, number one. We admitted we were powerless over food and their lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you for giving me the opportunity of being of service. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Terry G. And I will now ask Vanessa G. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone on the line. This is Vanessa G., recovered in New Mexico. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 6. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. And 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. And 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Vanessa G., and thanks for stepping in there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you please keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press *1 to remute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're on page 102, the first full paragraph, beginning with, "Why sit with a long face in places?" through one full paragraph ending with, "Just because your friends drink liquor." We are reading and commenting on one paragraph this morning, and I will now ask Penny LC to please begin reading. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning, Stephanie. Thank you for your service, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking, sighing about the good old days? If it is a happy occasion, try to increase the pleasure of those there. If a business occasion, go and attend your business enthusiastically. If you are with a person who wants to eat in a bar, by all means go along. Let your friends know they are not to change their habit on your account. At a proper time and place, explain to all your friends why alcohol disagrees with you. If you do this thoroughly, few people will ask you to drink. While you were drinking, you were withdrawing from life little by little. Now you are getting back into the social life of this world. Don't start to withdraw again just because your friends drink liquor. And here, I'm given guidance of how to behave in my new life. In my diseased behavior, I wasn't living authentically. Usually, if I was with others, I was hiding behind a plastic false face. In my recovered behavior, I strive to live my true life, to show up as my genuine self. With my feelings of discomfort when my feelings of discomfort want to return to me and return me to isolation, I ask my higher power to give me the strength to find my way to ease and a sense of peace. In this passage, I'm reminded to live free from that food obsession, but more importantly, free from the bondage of self. I am to not settle for food addict isolation, but instead live life by participating in my life. I have a choice to be a part of today instead of apart from. And as noted in these lines, I am to seek my purpose, to be of service, to look for ways to be helpful to another. In this way, I get to abstain from fear-driven self-centeredness. I remind myself that food is not the issue, as it truly never was. The true issue is my spiritual fitness. When I am faithfully connected to my higher power and following the will of my higher power, I am safe and protected. I am then able to go anywhere and be exposed to any environment and any of my addictive substances. With my spiritual wellness intact, I am able to live in ease and freedom. And I have found that true for myself, but I can also recognize what my preferences are and appreciate those. I am an introvert by nature, and so, you know, I honor that as well. I choose not to push myself out too far out, because that would be against my comfort of truly who I am, and I need to honor that. I can today, by God's grace and guidance, my higher power's grace and guidance, to seek out participating with friends, with activities, with life. And it's a blessing. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. And we're now going to open the meeting for sharing. Although we value your experience, we ask that you please limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you shared on Wednesday or Thursday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible to share too. I will remind you when your time is up. And if you'd like to share, please give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Who would like to share?
Bruce E.
Sherry Brim.
Veronica
Got
B.
You, Sherry. Got you, Veronica B.
Kate S.
Can you repeat that, please?
Kate S. is in Sam. Yes. From Arizona.
Gotcha, Kate. Arizona. Gotcha. Thank you. And we have anyone else who'd like to get in on this first lineup? Okay, well, we can definitely start here. I've got Bruce E., Sherry M., Veronica B., and Kate S. And just want to remind everyone, please always give us your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from before you start your share. So, Bruce, you're going to be up first, followed by Sherry. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Thank you. Bruce E. in Florida, recovered in Florida. And very grateful here to be on this line, very grateful to be recovered today, very grateful to not have this addiction crawling all over my back today. So here's the deal. I used to be very jealous and very envious sitting at a lunch, you know, sometime with other people. And we all ordered, and then the food came, and they got a bigger one than I got. You know, I used to take my wife's. I used to trade with my wife. She got a bigger one. I'd take hers. You know, I don't do that anymore. I go with what I receive. you know. And also, I don't get into self-pity about it. I used to get into, you know, I'd be really upset, you know, because I couldn't eat like other people. You know, I couldn't go 3 times to the dessert table, 4 times to the dessert table like other people. I see people doing that, and they're not even compulsive overeaters. They just liking the dessert. And then maybe they cut back another time. I don't know. Maybe they just gain weight. I'm not sure what it is. But I think I got a guy running up.
Bruce, there's a lot of background noise. It's very hard to hear you.
Hang on. How's that?
That much better.
Is that better? Maybe that's better. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, that is better. Okay, good. Good, yeah. The lawn out here. So I'm not, you know, what I do is when I go to a party or a wedding or something like that or, you know, any kind of occasion, I'll look for somebody that's standing by themselves all isolated in the corner. If I'm with my wife, another couple, maybe isolated, sitting by themselves. And we'll go over and I'll say, hey, let's go over and talk to them. We'll go over and start talking to them. I'm trying to forget that the occasion is about the food. It isn't. It's about the people, and it's about the fun and the fellowship. You know, it's not about the food so much anymore, you know. And I've thought about it before. If there's a buffet, I go over and look at the buffet before anybody even starts eating or starts getting it. And I take a look. I recognize what I can eat off of that. And when I go through it, I go through and I take exactly what I decided on. So thanks a lot for letting me share. I appreciate it. Sorry for the noise. Bye.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce E. in Florida. Next, we've got Sherry M., followed by Veronica B. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, good morning, Stephanie. This is Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. And happy Friday, everyone. Thanks for your service, Stephanie. And this is such a joyful, week, I feel like, with each paragraph. And it's telling us that I come into program living in a prison of self, where I can't, you know, when I was at my lowest bottom with this disease, I was going through 3 fast food restaurants, bringing all my bags, going to the grocery store, getting the sweets, coming in, shutting the blinds, putting on, back then we had like Blockbuster and VHS, and I would just be watching movies and mindless TV, binging my brains out, passing out, coming to living a life. So while all my friends were married and having kids, I was having a relationship with my food in the deepest, darkest despair. Then I got sober and they took away my substances and I became very much an introvert, very much afraid of going out. And all I can tell you is that 21 years of living 12-step program, an example of how I live today is I say yes to everything, every new experience I can do. I can travel. I can be free. Last Saturday was a wedding. I had chosen my fish before, and that was my meal. And, you know, I went not one thought about what am I going to eat? What is the food? The desserts were in one room with the wedding cake, and I was on the dance floor. I was the first one on and basically the last one off. And I can dance by myself in the middle of a room of strangers, and I could care less.
I have because God, I maybe one.
God has. I don't know who that is. It's life is a party. You know, life really is a party as long as I remain obstinate, and I know who's in charge, which is God. And God can do the miraculous. God can do the impossible. God, like my sponsor always says, can save a wretch like me, and not only save me, but transform me for good purpose so that I can be joyful and happy and bring joyfulness to every occasion I go to and bring laughter and lightheartedness, no matter what life serves my way. It's not about what's being served on my plate. It's what God is serving me. In terms of what does my day look like? What is God giving me to do? What is my task? what is my assignment today? And my assignment is to spread this way of life, which is happy, joyous, and free. And with that, I pass. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Sherry Ann from Wyoming. Next, we've got Veronica B., followed by Kate S. Good morning, Veronica.
Good morning. I'm Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. Thank you for your service. I had to share because one of the commitments I've made to myself is to share weekly here to stay in the middle and to stay connected. And it's good for my program. It's good for my recovery. This is a hard paragraph for me right now. I feel really in my head, so I don't know what's going to come out. So I'm also sober in AA. I came into Overeaters Anonymous in 2009 through Alcoholics Anonymous because I realized I could not stay abstinent. And I got sober and I realized that I couldn't use Alcoholics Anonymous to stay abstinent is what I'm trying to say. I'm sorry, I just woke up. I could not use the program of AA to stay abstinent. I kept even throwing up in the rooms of AA. So when I was 3 years sober, I came to Overeaters Anonymous. And so that's what started when I started my journey here, and that was 09. And I am recovered. But lately I felt myself like I haven't been giving myself enough time to meditate. I haven't given myself enough time to just take a pause in the day, take a breath. I feel like I haven't been seeking deeply as I would like to. Because when I seek God and when I really just stop and take a breath, that's when I feel most connected to Him. That's when I feel more filled up. You know, and this weekend I'm going to an AA convention, and I brought my food for half the time there. But, you know, it's going to be filled with, like, it's a really nice pool area. So bikinis. I wish I felt more confident about my body. And this is all I'm thinking about going on this trip. So I'm going to take a step back, I'm going to take a breath, I'm going to take a pause, and I'm just going to seek God and really just get in my body and get in gratitude and see who I can help. You know, because when I'm helping somebody else, that's where the joy is. When I'm helping somebody else, that's where the stillness is. When I'm helping somebody else, that's where the quiet is. You know, so that's where I'm going to try to show up this weekend. And I had to just share that because it's, you know, I really believe in sharing. You give away your power to the universe. And then, you know, just it's a good reminder for me. Thanks for being here. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Next, we've got Kate S. Good morning, Kate.
Good morning. This reading takes me back to the first time I had continuous abstinence. I was taught other people's food. That's not my food. Okay. And just being taught that wouldn't have done me any good. I've learned that the only thing that stands between me and my higher power is fear. Okay, fear of rejection, fear of missing out, whatever the fear is. Okay. And dealing with that fear, as soon as I'm drifting from my higher power, when I say, okay, what are you afraid of? Right. That habit has made it much easier for me to set boundaries, because the only reason to not set a healthy boundary is fear of rejection or conflict or something like that. When I first got abstinent, I had my own shelf in the refrigerator. I had my own cabinet. and my partner could put whatever she wanted in hers because it was hers. And one time she was, we were going to sit and watch TV, and she was nervous about eating some snacks in front of me. And I explained to her that it was okay. You know, that I would rather her do that than me feel guilty about her not doing it and depriving herself for an issue that's mine. And I just realized I forgot to set my timer. Anyway, I sat down on the couch with my broccoli, and she had her stuff, and I was fine because it was her food. It wasn't mine. And I set boundaries, and when my grandkids would come to visit, I could make food for them that I didn't eat, and it was theirs. It wasn't mine. And the boundaries I set internally are the ones that saved me, not when I tell somebody else, oh, you can't do that around me, okay, because I'm not in charge of that boundary. That's something they choose to do or not do. Anyway, I guess that's all I have. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Kate S. from Arizona. So we're going to, before we take another lineup, I want to remind everybody where you're at. And just in case if you joined us a little late, let you know where we're at. We're in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 102, the first full paragraph, beginning with, why sit with a long face in places? Through one full paragraph ending with, just because your friends drink liquor. And we are reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. And if you'd like to share, please let us know your first name, last initial, and where you're calling from. Would like to share.
Annabelle Z, Washington State.
I've got you, Annabelle. Have anyone else?
Cheryl F. from Michigan.
Was that an S as in Sam or F as in Frank?
Oh,
Cheryl S. from New Jersey.
Was that Carol from New Jersey?
Yes.
And what was your last initial?
S as in Sam.
S. Okay. And then Cheryl from Michigan, can you give me your last initial again, please?
Sure. S as in Sam.
Thank you so much. Okay. And anyone else who wants to get in?
Jody E. from California.
I got you, Jody. Thank you so much. Okay, anyone else for this lineup? All right, I've got Annabelle Z, Cheryl S, Carol S, and Jody E. We'll start with Annabelle Z, followed by Cheryl S. And please always let us know where you're calling from, guys, so that people can find you on the member list to reach out. Good morning, Annabelle.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thank you for your service and everyone online. This is Annabelle in Washington State, compulsive overeater and restrictor, and I haven't been sharing. I've been listening almost every morning, and I haven't been sharing. I don't know. I feel like I don't have a lot to share. And yesterday, I got a call from a dear friend on this line, just reaching out, and I've had a couple of calls in the last couple of weeks, just reaching out, haven't heard from you, how you doing? And it just means so much to me. It just really means so much to me because a lot of why I wasn't calling in or sharing or showing my face at meetings is I just didn't feel like I was a part of. And I really do, thanks to that phone call and a couple of phone calls I've gotten. So thank you. And as far as this paragraph goes, I found that the biggest thing that struck me was it really has nothing to do with whether I'm around food or not. My abstinence has to do with the condition of my heart and my spirit. that is based on my time with God and relying on God, not just knowing he's there, but just really going, God, I need help here. God, what do I do? How do I act? What should I say? What should I not say? Help me shut up. Help me deal with this feeling, you know, to really use God. And I say that in a way that God, I know God wants me to use him. He's always asking me to come to me, come to me. And so I've been doing that a lot. And again, it has absolutely nothing to do with the food around me. It makes me need to, when there is food, a lot of food around me, like there is right now, I've got my sons at home. And so, you know, they're like growing still and large men, to 18 and almost 23 or 19 and almost 23. So they eat a lot. And, you know, we've got foods in the house that they're like people said, that's not my food. And I'm not necessarily tempted to eat it. I just, it's there, you know, so I have to be a little more cautious and maybe make a phone call. So I'm glad I shared this morning. I'm so glad that I'm on this line and that you really are my family. And I don't want to be, you know, I segregate myself, you know, and thinking, well, I'm not really accepted or I'm not really worthy. Or it's, I don't know, it's so stupid. So I'm here and I'm grateful and I thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, Annabelle V. from Washington State. Next, we've got Cheryl S., followed by Carol S. Good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning, Stephanie, and thanks, everyone, for your service and making this meeting possible. I'm so grateful to be a compulsive overeater working a program in Michigan. And what struck me about this paragraph was, it's like, oh my goodness, I've been working on a step four specifically about my adult children. And I just came back from a visit with one set of the family. And that first line really struck me. You know, why sit with a long face? And it had nothing to do with the food, or it had to do with me kind of going back to the next sentence then, try to increase the pleasure of those there. I would sit with a long face waiting for to be included, or waiting to feel like I fit in, or waiting. And I was like, what are you doing? I really needed to pray more before I went on this visit and think about how I could increase the pleasure of those there, not to figure out what I could get. And I got a little pouty because I didn't have food that I needed. I didn't plan as well. I did okay. I made adjustments and it worked out okay. But my biggest thing was my attitude. I really needed to see how I could be of service, give pleasure, joy to the occasion, and not have it be all about me and what am I wearing and am I fitting in. It's like, oh my goodness, me, me, me. I just, that paragraph just hit me and I feel such humility today. So anyway, I really appreciate all the shares and thank you again for all the shares and for having this meeting. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Cheryl S. from Michigan. Next, we've got Carol S., followed by Jody E. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I'm Carol, a compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor. And I'm new to the program, but the paragraph really spoke to me, what we were reading in the big book. I'm going through the steps now with someone from Scottsdale meeting, and it's very intense. And one of my I have a lot of assignments, and it's all like, anyway. But what happened was I have a Mahjong group and they decided they were going for lunch. This was last week and it was my first day really talking to my sponsor. But they were going for Vietnamese food, which is pho and salty. And I just was so freaked out. I got, you know, in the meetings advice just to bring my lunch. I just couldn't conceive of just doing that. I mean, I play with these women all the time and I just felt like they needed an explanation. I didn't know what to do. So in the morning on the Monday when I woke up, I called and I said I wasn't feeling very well. I don't think this is a very well, you know, that I played my cards very well or did the right thing. But I couldn't handle it being different
bringing my food, or I didn't have a number to the restaurant where I could see if I could get something healthy there, because they were kind of up in the air about where they were going, but it was definitely going to be Vietnamese food. So I couldn't just be like normal among them. And I it was kind of drastic what I did, because I took myself away from the game that I love and from all the people. And they were saying, we'll wait till next week. We can all be together next week so we can include you. And I was like, no, no, no. And I wrote in the text, you know, I have food allergies. So it's best this way, you know. I also have kidney disease, which, you know, I have to really watch the salt intake. So anyway, I'm really feeling blessed that I'm really going through the steps. I've shared that I've been free of bulimia for 37 years. I was in OA years ago, and I'm coming back. And that has just been the biggest gift from God. And now I'm just dealing with this restricting and constant obsession. I'm still in the disease, but I'm really hoping and praying that through the work that I do, I can get through it, that I can find God and have a spiritual awakening. I want to get on the list. I guess I need to find the website and so I can put my name on the list. Okay. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Carol S., and we're so glad that you're here. Keep coming back. And at the end of the meeting, we do have time to give your name out if you're looking for a sponsor
I'm working with from Scottsdale. Thank you.
Great. Awesome. All righty. Next, we've got Jody E. Good morning, Jody.
Good morning, Stephanie. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to the newcomers. My name is Jody E., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I like this paragraph a lot because it tells me how to have this psychic change, basically, to turn the attention away from myself, my concerns, my fears, and to put my attention on others. How can I be of service in any occasion, whether it's a pleasurable, happy, celebratory occasion or a business occasion, work? In all my affairs, I can keep this awareness in my mind. It's not always easy. I have to remind myself. It's not all about me. It's about how I can be of service. And when I make that psychic change, that turnaround, it changes everything for me. I go from being an insecure, self-conscious, fearful person to being a much more confident person. It's like flipping the tables. So God grant me the serenity to change myself and my attitude towards others rather than fearing what their attitude might be about me. That's my natural tendency, is thinking, what are they thinking of me? And I can just discard that and say, well, what are you thinking of them? Are you thinking well of them? Are you giving them the benefit of the doubt? Are you looking for their good characteristics rather than finding fault? So I can turn everything around, and it makes all the difference. And is a higher power involved? I believe so. Not everybody believes that there is a higher power, a God, quote unquote. But there's something spiritual happening there. When I get out of myself and consider others instead. It's just a real relief is what it is. And I can have emotional sobriety in that case. And what a blessing. What a blessing. So I just love this big book for this reason, because it shows me how to get out of myself, to take my own inventory, and to find the good in others, and to increase that beauty in others to the best of my ability. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jody E. from California. We can probably take three more. Who would like to share? Please give us your first name and last initial and where you're calling from.
Loretta
Joanne.
H.
Joanne. I heard Loretta H.
Joanne from West Virginia.
Joanne, what's your last initial?
O-U. Joanne U.
Got ya. And we can probably take one more. Anyone else want to get in here? Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes.
Luann C.
Got Loretta.
Boise.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that?
Luann C. Boise.
Okay. Got you, Luann. So I've got Loretta H., Joanne U., and Luann C. Loretta, you're up first, followed by Joanne. Good morning, Loretta.
Good morning, Stephanie, and good morning all, along with my precious God. You are saving my life, Loretta H., recovered in North Carolina. And I love the shares. Welcome to the newcomer. Why sit with a long face in places where there is drinking? So we get the gift of desperation, and the desperation is when we're in the disease. But this is not a program of deprivation, because once we have God in our lives, we can supposedly go anywhere. And our main purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and other people about us. And so whenever you're in a state of mind and body that isn't comfortable, and there's nothing in the big book that says you can't be uncomfortable, that is when we are so fortunate, after we've gone through the steps, that we can reach out to God or to another fellow. And usually for me, it's God, because he's the up close and personal. And then go and help somebody else. And it's interesting, because I came into the program in 2001, and I had a job that I could not carry my food around the world. I was a flight attendant. When you go to Europe, you can't carry food in and out of the duty, you know, where they check everything in your suitcase. So I actually had to learn how to eat, and that's what this program has done for me. It's taught me how to eat, but also how to, for me, eating is a privilege. They talked about it on the last special edition, and I just cannot abuse that privilege, because once I abuse that privilege, I lose that privilege. So wherever I go, I must be willing to trust God, clean house, and help others. And especially serving food, you know, for 6 hours I really had to trust God, because there was nothing else I had available to me. And so with today's reading, I can be anywhere, even on the Alaska tundra, and if there's a bottle, if I am doing the work I'm supposed to be doing, I won't reach for that bottle. So I'm just so grateful for program, and of course all of you, and my God, who actually gets me through most every situation where I'm uncomfortable, because the big book never says I have to be comfortable. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Loretta H. from North Carolina. Next, we've got Joan U., followed by Luann C. Good morning, Joan. And you'll need to hit star one to unmute.
Okay, yeah, my name's Joanne from West Virginia.
Joanne. I'm sorry, Joanne. Go ahead.
That's okay. Yeah, good to be here. It's been a while since I've been able to get on the meeting. I don't actually have the literature in front of me. I'm at work, so I'm just doing it from memory from what's being shared. But if it's the passage I think it's a page 100 somewhere around there, that it talks about, you know, we shouldn't be afraid to go anywhere that we can be useful and where we can be effective and help others. And that whole passage there of not, you know, going into bar rooms or restaurants or this, that, and the other. Well, my family are just about to embark on opening a family business, and it's a bakery. And my whole family have always been involved in food, and we've always had our own businesses. And so I'm really quite a little bit anxious about this, and, you know, a bit anxious. But someone recently pointed this passage out to me, you know, what's my motive? What's my intention? Am I going there to see if I can get a sneaky bit of cake, you know, while I'm working? Because it will be, I will be working there serving. And because I was really getting quite angst, and I was getting feeling quite how unfair it is that my family just happened to be in the food business, and you know, I struggle with food, I have food issues. So so I had to change my attitude, I had to change my mindset, because there was no other way. And then when I read this passage, that I saw, well, it's my motive. I'm freaking out, I'm feeling anxious because I'm just thinking about all the food that I can't have, you know, that I'm gonna want at some point. So I'm sorry, can you still hear me? Yeah, sorry.
We can hear you now, Joanne.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So anyway, so my point is, I'll just wrap this up, that when that happens, it's going to be a few months yet, but I do kind of get these moments of fear, just how it's all going to work out, being around all that food that really isn't good for me. And so it's remembering that. It's remembering it's a spiritual malady, so therefore the answer is a spiritual solution. And like that's been shared, you know, it's staying in that close contact with God in the midst of all of that, and knowing that how can I be helpful? How can I be there to bless the people? How can I be there to serve the people rather than what I can get from it? So I just wanted to share that and remind myself that that's the mindset I need to have even when that happens. And just on a day-to-day basis, being around, you know, we're kind of called the foodie family because we love food and different European foods and stuff like that. Well, it's not very helpful for me when I hear my family members say that, but it is as it is, and I can't change them, and I can just change myself, and that's where the focus has to stay. And I thank God that I have him in my life today, and he's ever available and ever ready for me when I reach out and call to him. Thank you. I'll leave it there.
Well, thank you so much, Joanne Yu from Virginia. And Luanne, we've got 1 minute. Would you like to take a minute, Cher?
Oh, boy, let me go. Okay, thank you. I'm Luanne C. In Boise, and I'm really grateful to be in recovery today because a week ago I came up with a great idea that if fruit was dried, I could have it at 10 o'clock at night. So I picked up, but the great thing is that my first day of abstinence is now Memorial Day, the original Memorial Day. So I'm hoping I never forget. But anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm going to go on vacation. And I think the bottom line we've all been talking about is that, you know, you have to be in fit spiritual condition. And I had been ignoring my check engine light, which was going off for about at least a month. And, you know, all the things I was getting, I was tired, couldn't get up for my spiritual time. I was ignoring my 10th step issues. I was deciding it was okay to sponsor myself. You know, all the things that go in there that all of a sudden, you know, it felt like it came on me out of the blue, but really it had been going on for a while. And I'm just so grateful for all the long-term members who were frank with me and helped me to get back on track. And today I'm on my feet and standing up, and I'm just so grateful. So thanks for letting me share. Have a great weekend. I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Luanne C. from Idaho. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see here. Jody E., can you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, I will. I'd love to. This is Jody E. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order.
but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.